Being of light and stardust. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to Empowered Expression. I hope you're having a great day. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline Addington, former engineer and neuroscientist turned business mystic. And that's what we talk about on this podcast. Mystical business. We talk about working with money in really beautiful conscious ways. We talk about being your magical, shiny ass self. Doing business in a way that feels really deep and true and aligned and flowy instead of like hustly. And today is a really exciting episode. I talk about this a little bit at the beginning of the meat and potatoes of the episode. I'm simultaneously really fucking hyped to release this and low-key terrified to release this. I'm recording this intro after I just recorded the whole thing. And I feel way more like hype now than like low-key terror. When I started recording, I was like, oh God, okay, here we go. You'll see why as we move through. Because I'm sharing a big, ambitious goals that we're working towards. And what we're talking about today is the circulation conscious business model. So this is something that we have officially shifted the business to step onto this path. I've been tinkering with alternatives to capitalist, you know, approaches. I'd say since the summer. We tried the gift economy model, and we learned a lot from that. There were some wins. There were some not wins and some flops. We learned a lot about that. And the more that I continued to step into my sacred role as a steward of money, the more I realized what about that was really nourishing and beautiful. What about that was not so nourishing and beautiful, and how it actually didn't quite align with how I'm here to work with money. And so it's been a journey of refinement, you know, where it's like, okay, old school capitalism doesn't feel good. Let's try this. Oh, that feels okay. I don't know about it. Let's try that. Oh, that feels okay. We're learning more. Oh, let's try this, you know? And I'm super grateful for that journey because as we've played with different approaches and different structures, it's helped us refine something that we have officially committed to for the long haul. And so if you are the kind of person who wants to play with building your business in a way that is not perpetuating a lot of the harmful aspects of capitalism and consumerism, then you might just love this fucking episode. We get like super into it, super detailed. I break it down. I break down everything that I've been playing with and working with behind the scenes for months now that is officially getting shared with all of you. Low-key terrifying, super exciting. So what's in this episode? Okay. So I talk about letting our business model be a readout of our unique sacred role and sacred work as a steward of money in the world. We all have a different role to play in our work with money. And once we clarify this, it can help us a ton to build in a way that aligns with that, right? So we talk about that, and then I talk about the three phases of building out this, what I call circulation conscious business model. I share what I mean when I say circulation conscious, like what does that even mean? And how does that differ from a lot of the traditional capitalist approaches. And then I talk through each phase and I share how we're building it all along the way. I really want to tell you what each phase is right now because it's super cool and exciting, but I don't want to blow my load too soon because that's like part of the fun is like going on the journey together because there's some really exciting stuff in the later phases. So especially phase three. I'm obsessed with phase three and I can't wait to get there. But I'm obsessed with the whole thing, but I'm really obsessed with phase three. So yeah, I'm not going to blow the secret. You just keep listening and enjoy. We get very like, you know, we're talking like business structure and strategy here, but it's a super special episode, like very near and dear to the heart. To, like I was saying, be able to share this because it's something that has been getting worked on behind the scenes for, I mean, honestly, been getting worked on behind the scenes for like probably the better part of 6 months because there was all that trial and error trying to figure things out. So the refinement process has taken some time and to be able to share it with you is really exciting. A couple fun little announcement moments before we hop into the main juice of the episode. Tomorrow is the last part of the series, of the Rebirth Party series. We do have a podcast episode dropping on Friday too that's a special guest episode about sensuality and sexuality and how that gets confused in our culture. But tomorrow is about crafting and cultivating a brand message and a story of your brand that is really honoring of everyone involved. Honoring of you as the creator with your gifts and your genius and your entrepreneurial pizzazz, and honoring of your community with their sovereignty, their magic, their wisdom. So that you have to look forward to tomorrow. And February 21st, 3 p.m. Eastern, you have a super exciting thing to look forward to, which is the Peaceful Money Masterclass. So if you're picking up what we're laying down in this episode about the sacred role and your sacred work with money as a steward of money, then definitely come hang in the masterclass because we're going to be talking about that. And I say it at the end of the episode, but if you want to like live that, then I would say also check out the Peaceful Money waitlist. I'll drop a link in the show notes. You can go ahead and sign up for the waitlist for the program that is coming. Doors will officially open right after the masterclass on the 21st. So if you know that you're like, yeah, I'm really digging on this conversation and I want to live into my own sacred role, my own sacred work, find out what that is, then come hang. All right, cool. With that, enjoy the rest of this episode and like, yo, hit me up on Instagram after. Oh yeah, please hit me up on Instagram. Let me know your takeaways, your thoughts, how it landed, how hyped you are about phase three, because I imagine there are going to be several of you who are like, fuck yes, I've been wanting this. So I'm really excited to hear how it lands with you. Okay, I love you. Enjoy. Okay, simultaneously super hyped and super scared. simultaneously super hyped and super scared because this is like, okay. You know how when you care about something a lot, it's scary to share it? Yeah, that's what's happening right now. Plus, this is yesterday we were talking about Jim Collins. I'm going to cite Jim Collins again here. He's the creator of the word, or the acronym BHAG, Big Hairy Audacious Goals. That's what this is. I'm sharing some very ambitious changes in the business. And that kind of scares the pants off of me to share it. But I also know that it's a beautiful, like, I also feel really excited to share it. So it's the perfect combination and of like terrifying and really exciting. And I know that if you're in a place where you're wanting to rethink how you can do business so that it's, you know, not continuing to perpetuate cycles of harm that occur through capitalist and consumerism type approaches, then it's really helpful to hear how people are doing it. You know, it's really helpful to hear different models and to just see like, oh, this is a possibility that I hadn't considered before. And I actually believe that, and this is just my harebrained theory, but intuitively, I feel like there might be, we might see in the next like 5-10 years, a lot of really cool, new, innovative business models popping up that, because so many people are interested in this kind of conversation around how can I do business in a completely unique and different and beautiful way that maybe stands outside of a lot of the traditional capitalist approaches and diverges from that approach. But we don't have a ton of models right now. So I think that there's going to be this like beautiful blossoming of different ways that we can do things and build businesses. And the one that I'm sharing today is born out of my own, you know, awareness of the role that I'm here to play in collaboration with money, which BT Dubs is something that we're going to be talking about in the Peaceful Money Masterclass. So if you're enjoying this particular part of the podcast and conversation, then definitely come hang. Baby, definitely come hang. So my sacred role as a steward of money in this lifetime, as best I can tell from where I stand now, is as a basically a resource flow guide, director, a circulator, if you will. I feel the most lit up and on fire and driven by the idea of generating resource and then moving it towards humans and organizations building beautiful things, building the world that we all want to live in. Well, that we want to live in. Those of us tuning into the podcast probably want to live in. I won't say we all, but that those of us tuning into this podcast, we should probably share a lot of ideals about how we would like the world to be. More compassionate, more loving, more connected, you know, to each other and to the earth and all kinds of good juice, right? So this is my unique sacred role as a steward of money, is to be a circulator and to guide the flow into the hands of people and organizations doing really great work in the world. And specifically, moving it towards these, you know, projects, people, organizations, not just of my own volition and my own decision about who's doing great work, but as a byproduct of a community decision, right? That I feel like my role is to be the one that moves the things, but that the humans who I share space with and community with are, you know, generating a collective decision and idea about where those funds should go. That feels like really juicy and alive for me. So know that the rest of this conversation about like what I'm calling the circulation conscious business model is born out of that sacred role. It's born out of the awareness of who I'm meant to be in relationship with money and how I'm meant to steward money in this lifetime. So you may resonate with some of it. You may resonate with all of it. You may resonate with none of it. All that is beautiful. And know that you have your own sacred role with money in this lifetime. I'm a believer that we all do, and it just looks different for all of us. So if you're curious about getting in touch with yours, definitely come to the masterclass and or go ahead and sign up for the Peaceful Money waitlist, because we're going to be talking about that and it's going to be really dope and it's going to be fantastic. Okay, so this business has officially begun the journey of shifting into a circulation conscious business model. And this is the name that I've given this model. I have not seen it anywhere before. if you know someone who's doing it like this, please put us in connection, because I would love to talk to them and have them on the podcast. That would be amazing. But I haven't ever seen this model before, which is another reason that it's kind of like terrifying to share it publicly on the podcast, because I'm like super hyped about it, but I'm also like, will this work? I don't know. Like, to be honest, like, I believe that it will, and I believe at my core that this is how things feel pulled to unfold. This is the heart pull that I feel to unfold in this way in this lifetime. But will it work? I'm not entirely sure. I don't have any evidence of other people doing it this way, so I don't know. But I gotta try, because it's just so juicy and alive. So that's another reason that it's kind of scary to share, because I'm like, oh, I don't want people to think that I'm like delusional or anything, but here we go. We'll share the things. Okay. So shifting, we're officially stepped onto the path of shifting into a circulation conscious business model, and it's going to happen in three phases. So as I talk through each phase, you know, it'll kind of flesh out what I mean when I say circulation conscious business model. It will make sense as we go along. So phase one is where we are now. We've stepped onto the path of creating a healthy circulation margin. And when I say circulation margin, here's what I mean. So in a business, you're probably familiar with the term profit margin. If you have a business, you're definitely familiar with the term profit margin, right? So profit margin, by standard definition, is like, you know, a common phrase that's used to describe it is like the quote unquote take home, you know? So this is like what a business keeps. And when we think about traditional capitalist approaches to business, it's got this energy of like take, 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 hoard, 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 right? Like a lot of the primary, like financial priorities of a business is to maximize the profit and maximize, you know, what's considered shareholder wealth. So like anyone who's invested in the company, maximize their earnings as well. So it's this idea where it's like the game of business in a lot of like traditional capitalist approaches is trying to maximize the amount of money that you take and keep, which feels awful to even say. As that's coming out of my mouth, I'm like, like something in my stomach is trying to throw up breakfast. It feels terrible. So I'm sure that you, if you share that with me, then I'm sure you had a visceral reaction too. But it's that feeling of like, or it's that approach of taking and keeping, like taking and hoarding. And, you know, when you think about the idea of being circulation conscious, that is like super stale and stagnant. Like it's not moving through the business back into the ecosystem, back into the community, back into the world. You know, it's just taking and it's keeping, and it kind of stops there, you know? And that's not how life does stuff. Life is very like flowy. It's always changing. It's always flowing. It's this idea of like the tide coming in and the tide going out and the tide coming in and the tide going out, you know, and like the seasons change. And just this idea that like life, like that goes against the grain of the natural unfolding of life, to just take and keep and like hoard and the road ends there. It's not how life does things. It's not how the universe unfolds. And so to me, the idea of letting the revenue of a business be a almost like a stopping point on the way to circulating that money back into the ecosystem is really exciting and really nourishing. And when I say a circulation conscious business model, that's what I'm talking about, is like, you know, a business can make money, and then what does it do with that money? You know, does it hold it and keep it, or does it give it back and move it back through the ecosystem. And I want to pause for a second and also say that, you know, there's also nothing inherently, because like money is just one form of resource, right? So there's nothing inherently like wrong with holding money, you know, at all. You know, to continue with the idea of like the tide coming in and the tide going out, like, you know, there's little like tide pools, like it hangs out for a while and that's like beautiful and wonderful. But it's the intention behind it that makes all the difference in the world. You know, a very traditional capitalist approach has an intention behind it where it's like, yeah, we're doing this to get as much as we can. And that energy will kind of like cut the flow, you know, just like cuts the flow. At least in my experience, whenever I as a human am trying to get and not, you know, the inhale but not exhale, then it cuts the flow and you run out of air. So, cool. Okay. So that's, you know, the foundation of the conversation around circulation conscious is this letting the business be a stop on the journey that money takes to go as it goes back into the ecosystem, back into the building of a world that is more true and more beautiful, you know, if you want to use the words of Glennon Doyle, the more true and beautiful energy. So that brings us back to the idea of a circulation margin. So there's profit margin, term that is like, you know, intimately familiar with, but circulation margin is the word that I'm using to describe a percentage of revenue that's generated for the express purpose of moving that money back into the ecosystem. And this, as we keep going, so we're talking about phase one now. Remember, there's like two more phases. As we keep going, you will see that this is way more than just giving back. A lot of traditional capitalist companies that give back still have a primary financial priority of maximizing profit and maximizing shareholder wealth. And they give back as like a secondary thing, you know? Whereas this circulation conscious approach, the generation of funds is for the sake of being able to continue to move money into the hands of people, project, and organizations that are doing great work in the world. Like that's a huge part of why the revenue gets generated in the first place, right? The primary financial priority is having a healthy circulation margin to be able to move things back into the world. So it's a total like shift and reorientation of priority. So the reason that I say, because like you could be like, oh yeah, like give like 5% back and that's like super cool and that's like not that ambitious. But the reason that I say that this is like ambitious and kind of scary is that we're taking quite a radical approach. It's not just like 5% give back kind of vibes. It's 20. I feel deeply aligned and like lit up to the core by generating a 20% circulation margin without sacrificing a healthy profit margin, because the healthy profit margin is what keeps the business going, right? It's what keeps everything, like it's what keeps us feeling secure and stable to try new things, explore new creative projects, take on innovative risks, right? It's like, it's a healthy thing to have a healthy profit margin because it's what keeps the business moving, right? And so if we're not going to sacrifice the profit margin, if we're going to maintain a 20% circulation margin, this is where things get radical. So say that we're going to maintain a 50% profit margin and a 20% circulation margin. I know we're getting mathy, but just be with me for a second. That means that our expenses only account for 30%. which is radical. And this is the part where I'm like, can we do it? I'm not sure. This is radical. And part of the approach to this that feels really alive for me personally is salary cap. Because when you think about, and like, okay, there's like five thoughts that want to happen at once. So let me start here. I will say right now that the business is not at a place where we have like a COO and a CFO and like, you know, all of this like C-suite executive thing going on. Like, we're not there. I deeply feel in my bones, and this is also scary to say because I don't want people to think I'm delusional, but I guess we're going to say it. I also feel deeply in my bones that is in the stars. I do believe that that's in the stars, that the business will grow to a very healthy size. that feels alive in me. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll find out, but that's something that I'm working towards, that the business is working towards. And as a part of that, it feels really juicy. And this is like down the road. Because right now, I think we can get it to where it's a 30% expense and then generate a 20% circulation margin. But as the business continues to grow and more payroll happens, because payroll is like the biggest expense, then that's going to be very interesting to figure out. And my primitive solution to that, this is one of the things that came through in a past life regression in the bathtub, was a salary cap. Because when you think about a lot of the data out there, above like something somewhere between 50 and 75K a year, the happiness level and like the happiness change is marginal. It's like very minimal. And like, you know, it's not a significant change in happiness and quality of life above something that's like, you know, well below a lot of CEO salaries, right? This like 75K-ish mark. I think that that's about where it is. And so what came through in the past life regression bathtub moment was like, what if there's a salary cap of 100K, period, forever? What would that be like? And then the very next thought I had was, how the hell am I going to recruit people with that? They're like, what kind of marketing is that? Come over here. We're going to pay you way less than everybody else. But then the thought that came after that was, well, yeah, I don't want people who would only work for the money, because that doesn't jive with our ethos. There are definitely going to be humans out there who believe so deeply in what we're doing and don't feel like they need a big extravagant salary in order to live a good life. In fact, we would love to call in the people who are aware that the big extravagant salary is not the answer to a fulfilling life, because that's a huge part of what we teach and what we're about. Right? So that is like, you know, down the road, thoughts down the road, but we're here sharing them. So I thought I'd just share them in case you're curious. That when I think future, like 10 years into the future, when I think about being able to maintain a radically low expense, that's an idea that popped in that feels really juicy. So yeah, phase one is creating this healthy circulation margin of 20%. And the goal is to reorient to a 20% circulation margin by 2024, which is audacious and exciting. So then so that's like building the foundation and basically being like, can we do this in a sustainable way? And during that phase, the recirculation, like where it's getting recirculated, will be, you know, a result of where we're like, all right, we align with these institutions and these people and these organizations and these projects. And so we'll move money and resource in that direction. just for like proof of concept, you know? Now, this is where phase two is where it starts to get a little bit more fun. So phase two is about building a community-led recirculation infrastructure. I know, hairy sentence. That was a mouthful. You guys, my all my Capricorn is coming through right now so hard. I hope you're enjoying it. So phase two is going to be about building a community-led recirculation infrastructure. So that's like a mouthful. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is creating a way for you guys as the community to vote and weigh in on where and how these resources get circulated, right? So phase one is really about like feasibility and proof of concept. Can we generate this much of a recirculation and like a circulation margin? Yes, we can. Dope. Okay, cool. Once we've figured that out and like we've got that sustainably going, now let's create some kind of platform, some kind of infrastructure, some way that you, the community, can weigh in on where it goes and how it gets used. Isn't that awesome? Oh, I'm so excited, right? Because that's the beauty of it, you know? Like, it feels so much more powerful to, for it to not just be like this. It feels a little bit like old school, like patriarchal, you know, to be like, and, you know, now I'm going to sit on this seat and decide all the things for all the people, you know, it feels a little bit like kingy vibes. Like, I don't know. It just doesn't feel, it doesn't quite do it, you know? But the idea of being like, okay, we're going to generate these resources and be stewards of it. And now let's collectively decide where, like, what kind of world do we want to build together collectively? And let's move resources in that direction. So that's phase two, is building that out. Once proof of concept has happened, now can we build some way for there to be a two-way communication about where it all goes and being transparent about the impact that it's having, which sounds so exciting. Oh my God, I'm so excited. The only one, heads up. Okay, so the only one that we have a timeline for right now is phase one. The vibe is like, okay, let's do this first and then check in and see what would be feasible, you know, instead of setting all this stuff up and then like setting ourselves up for failure. We'll do one at a time and see how it goes. But I mean, this is going to be on the order of years, you know. It's a slow build, but maybe not. Maybe it won't take as long as I am thinking. I don't know. The universe works in magical ways. You never know. Okay. Now, okay, and then it gets even more exciting. So phase three, creating pathways to reinvest into the community. I'm so excited about this one. Oh my God, I'm so excited about this one. I'm so excited about all of it. I'm really excited about all of it. But this is like, I'm like, fuck yes. I can't wait until we like, I can't wait to just build the whole thing, but I really can't wait to build this. So to recap, we've generated a really solid circulation margin, radical circulation margin, you know, and expense ratio vibes. We have figured out a beautiful way and like built out this beautiful infrastructure to be able to have like a two-way street communication about where it's all getting, you know, invested and the projects that it's supporting and, you know, having this beautiful open line of communication about that. Now, the third phase is about creating pathways to support you guys in your projects, your creations, your everything, right? And the reason that we didn't hop straight to this is because that infrastructure about like the reason that we have a phase two where it's like, okay, we want to build this infrastructure is because this same infrastructure of like the two-way vibes can also be used. Cause I mean, that's going to be a whole project in and of itself, but it can also be used to, as a platform for communication about reinvesting back into the community, right? So when I say reinvesting back into the community, what I mean is like grants, like creator grants and creator funding mechanisms that are supporting new creators or creators who want to take their business to the next level and helping them to build out their visions, right? So think like VC funding without the weird expectations that come with VC fundings. And what I mean by that is like venture capital, oftentimes like what's happening is a company or an individual is an investor basically is giving some set amount of money to a business to grow or to scale. And in exchange, they're getting something back. They're getting like stock options. They're getting some percent ownership of the business. They're getting something back. And that sets things up to be a little bit funky because now there's an expectation that the business performs in some kind of specific way, right? Where it's kind of like the investor's like, all right, I helped you out. Like you need to give me like 10x return on my investment. And I was in conversation with a wonderful human, Bijou, who's going to be, we already recorded a podcast interview and it'll probably drop in like a few weeks about the psychedelic industry and this concern where it's like, is that going to happen in the psychedelic industry where there's so much investor funding going into the psychedelic industry right now? Is it going to be a situation where now these investors have like these high expectations and are putting all this pressure on entrepreneurs who are building these psychedelic startups. And so the integrity of the therapy kind of gets undermined, you know, and all of a sudden it's like they are under this pressure to meet all of these benchmarks and da 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 and growth metrics. And so they cut corners and things, you know, kind of get a little wily. Am I super not expert outsider opinion, like looking in on the world of investment and like venture capitalist investing? Super outsider, like let it be known. I'm not an expert in this. This is just like a human looking in from the outside and being like, that seems like a problem. The whole way this is set up seems like it's a problem. What if it doesn't need to be like that? And I'm actually super grateful for Science Life because in the world of science, taxpayer money goes to the government and the government then doles that out to scientists who write grants. And the only expectation is that you do what you said you were going to do. You know what I mean? Like you don't have to prove that you are, or you're not under this insane pressure to yield like certain expected results. Because that would undermine the value of like the scientific process. You would start skewing the data to try and get the results that the granting agency wanted you to get. And that's never a good thing. Science is about, hey, we love the way you're thinking about this problem. We think that you are a good person to do it because we can see that you know what you're doing. We like the way that you're talking about this and approaching this. We're going to give you a chunk of money and let us know that you did what you said you were going to do. Publish some papers, present at conferences what you found, you know, like let us like update us. Like, what'd you find? Like, that's kind of the vibe is like, did you do the things? What'd you find? And it's totally different energy than like, hey, I like what you're doing. And so I'm going to give you this chunk of money and I expect you to get certain results in order for me to feel like this was like be happy about the situation. Right? So when I'm talking about creating pathways to reinvest in the community and like grants and different funding mechanisms for you guys as creators, because I can't tell you how many times when I was first getting my business going, I was like, man, it would just be so great if there was like a grant that I could apply for that got what I was doing, you know, that like understood what I'm all about and what I'm doing and saw my vision and appreciated it and would fund me with no expectation. Like that would be awesome. That would be awesome. Coming from the science life, I was like, man, I fucking wish there was a grant I could apply for. And so I want to do that. I want to build that, right? Because I think that it is something that would be incredibly valuable because as a creative, and I would say like as a business human in general, I think that the VC funding mechanism is kind of broken. And there's definitely stuff about the granting, the scientific grant world that's kind of broken for sure. But if we can reimagine those things where say that it's like a creator grant that you can apply for and there's no strings attached, it's literally just like create and come, maybe come to these like workshops, learn about this so that you have these skills that you're, you know, you're working towards. But like check in with us, make sure that we know that you're creating and like that you're walking on your path and that you're leaning in and that you're doing the things. And take the, like have your nervous system be nourished while you're building something great. Wouldn't that be wonderful? With no expectation other than that you just create and you walk the path and you do what you said you were going to do in the grant. Oh, that'd be great. The world needs it. We have so many creators now. Like this is a whole new world of and like profession that like didn't really exist before the 2010s. You know what I mean? Like it's a super new field and we don't have any way to support the people who are getting started in that field. It's very much like Wild West on your own, figure it out, which is fine and wonderful and like has its benefits. But if we can support people to have a really like, you know, nourished nervous system as they're stepping onto the creator path, like fucking amen, right? So that's phase three. Can I get an amen? Oh my God, I'm so excited about this. So exciting. And I'm so grateful to my science life for an intimate understanding of grants. Because I was like, you know, I was writing grants and I was applying to grants. I was getting them reviewed. I was getting them funded, you know? So I have this like beautiful wealth of experience that I never thought I would ever use again. I was like, well, cool, you know? I mean, I learned how to like, you know, communicate complex ideas effectively, which I've always carried with me as like one of the greatest benefits of science. But I never thought that like the actual like granting mechanisms and funding mechanisms would be a thing that would be so helpful later on down the road. And having an understanding of what that system looks like from the inside and how science does it, what they get right, what they get wrong. Very helpful in being able to do this. So this is the vibe. This is the business. This is where it's going. We got like super structurey, like, you know, in the nitty gritty. I hope you enjoyed it. And I also want to say for a hot second that, you know, this is something, number one, it's born out of my unique sacred work and sacred role as a steward of money. And so the more that we can each individually get in tune with our unique sacred role and sacred work, then the more cool shit we get really jazzed about building. And the more that we're like, oh yeah, I'm like fucking hyped to go do work with money because, and like, you know, clear out any money shadows and, you know, do whatever needs to be done to get in right relation with money because I understand why, right? When you understand why you're doing the things, it gives a deep well of drive and energy and passion to do the things. So know that number one, this is born out of my unique sacred role and my unique sacred work. And whatever feels like super expansive and like tingly all in your body and you're like, ooh, I want to build that way too. Then like run with it, right? Like, yes, amen, run with it. It may well be on your path. If it feels like daunting and overwhelming, and like, that's super cool. I'm really hyped that she's building that, but I have no interest in building anything even remotely similar. A fucking min, right? Then like, that's beautiful, and like, run with that, right? And run with that, because there all of our businesses are fingerprints, you know? They're as unique as we are as individuals. So, know that. And when I felt like I wanted to plug that, because it could, I know that I just laid out like a lot that's probably going to take us like 10 years to build out in like full transparency. I hope it happens faster, because the journey will be wonderful, but also I can't wait until we get to creator grants. I'm like really excited to build that. And who knows, maybe we'll be able to like do that a little bit sooner than phase three, but it feels like being able to build out the infrastructure and the platform in phase two is really important, because I think back to, I'm getting off on a tangent now, but we're going to go there. I think back to, the grant review process and like the granting process in science. And I mean, that was a whole infrastructure and a whole interface, a whole platform, you know, that made that run smoothly and made it really effective, so that the people who are getting, who are moving through the process, were getting really great feedback all along the way. So that even if they, you know, didn't end up getting funded that time, they learned so much in the process about how to reapply and be more successful the next time, you know? So, I mean, that is like that's a whole infrastructure that needs to get built out in order for it to be done in a way that's really nourishing. So we'll see. Hopefully we could do it faster than 10 years, but maybe not. And it will be 10 years. Or maybe it takes longer and it ends up being 15 years. I don't know. It's fine. I'm here for the ride. But this is the approach that we are taking to building a business that really significantly diverges from traditional capitalist approach. Right? To go back to the beginning, where the energy of capitalism is like take and hoard. You can see how, I think in phase one, I was like, yeah, this is like very different than just the energy of quote unquote giving back. Like, oh, we give back 5%. You know, this is, as I kept talking through it, I hope you could feel how it's an entire ethos and it's an entire ecosystem and infrastructure that's built around circulation. You know, it's built around the idea that money moving into the business is literally just one stop on its continued journey back into the world. Whether it's through organizations or whether it's through individuals in the community through the form of like creator grants. So I'm so excited to be building this. You have no idea. You might. You can probably hear it, but I'm really excited. And I'm really grateful that you jammed out. If you're here, I'm really grateful that you jammed out all the way through, because I know that this is like, I mean, I love thinking about this stuff and talking about this stuff, but I know that this is a little bit different from a lot of the podcast episodes that we have. We may start talking about this more. If you're into it, let me know on Instagram. We can totally make more podcasts about alternative business models. But yeah, very hyped. Very hyped to create. Very grateful that you listened all the way through, because we covered a lot. And very excited to get to build this together. And that's one of the beautiful things, is that it is being built together. You know, there's like no way that it's not. It's woven into the very nature, is that we're building together, which I think is just really beautiful and really nourishing and really wonderful. So I hope that you liked this episode. I hope that you are as jazzed as I am. Holy potatoes. And tomorrow we're going to be talking about brand messaging. So we're going to be talking about cultivating and crafting a brand message that is mutually honoring of you as the creator, as the entrepreneur, honoring of your community as the magical sovereign beings that they are. So make sure you tune into that and make sure you sign up for the Peaceful Money Masterclass if you're into it, if you're feeling it. If the conversation today around like sacred work and getting to know your sacred role, if that really like, and you're like, your curiosity is piqued about that, definitely come hang in the masterclass. We're going to be talking about that. And go, I would also say, go ahead and sign up for the Peaceful Money waitlist, program waitlist, because we're going to be doing that inside of Peaceful Money. That is a part of the curriculum, is like anchoring into your sacred role, your sacred work as a steward of money. So if that's something that you know you want to not just learn more about, but like live through, then I'll drop the waitlist link so you can go ahead and sign up for the Peaceful Money waitlist. It's going to be going, doors are going to be opening right after the masterclass on February 21st, right around the corner. So I hope you love this. I love you. And I'll see you next time. I'll see you tomorrow on crafting a really strong brand message. Bye. Thanks for tuning in.